Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
5 today, and I think that with the obvious changes that are taking place in our world, there is a disappearance of faith, there is a digression of moral character, there is deception that is growing, which is one of the true signs of the last days. That's why Jesus in Matthew 24 said, as he would get into what would truly be a backbone of prophecy for the entire Bible, talking about end time events, he would begin by saying, take heed, let no man deceive you. So deception plays a tremendous role in the last days. But 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul is really continuing the theme about the coming of the Lord. And he says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. There's always been a curiosity of the people of God about where we are in God's timeline. If you go back to Acts chapter 1, you can remember that the disciples, you know, getting their master's degree from a resurrected, glorified, or not yet glorified, about to be glorified Christ. And they were very curious about the restoration of Israel and if he was going to take up his throne at that particular moment, overthrow the Roman Empire, establish his kingdom on the earth. And he told them, he said, it's not time for you to know that particular season. I've got something else in mind for you right now. Which can indicate to us that sometimes we can put the cart before the horse. We can, in our petulance and impatience, we can get things out of God's design, even if it is ultimately meant to be the will of God. But if you don't have the timing right, then you don't have the development, or the potential is not fully appreciated. You know, it's not just something to have potential to do something. You want to have a process and a fulfillment of what's being developed. If you walked up to a cocoon and pulled a caterpillar out of the process too soon, then you would create a destructive moment where that caterpillar is not fully developed. It's not a caterpillar, nor is it a butterfly. It's somewhere in between. It's in this place of metamorphosis, but you've interrupted the change. And It's going to meet an end that is not good, because it doesn't have fully developed wings. It's not going to be a butterfly. It's not going to be able to fly away. We can do that often with the Word of God, and even in our own interpretation or misrepresentation of the Word of God. And one of the things you have to be careful of is saying, well, what season am I in? Because you might allow yourself to be discouraged or discontented. You might allow yourself to become cynical with the will of God or the purpose of God. You might miss the bigger point or the bigger picture of what God is trying to accomplish in your life. How many have found that to be true over the course of time? And it's a human dilemma. We often find ourselves in that moment of impatience or time of trouble, questioning where we are, what's our purpose. You know, it becomes an existential crisis. And if we're not careful, we lay aside our spiritual means and we start looking for secular answers. And again, it comes back to, we're trying to fit things in to our own timing as opposed to God's timing. This is why 2 Peter 3 says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not slack concerning his promise. Now, we're gonna stay in 1 Thessalonians 5, so just leave that verse up there. He's not slack concerning his promise. That means it's not an accounting mistake. You know, that's really a terminology for accounting. He's not slack. He's not missing an appointment. Now, God, you said you would be here in such and such time, and you didn't show up. But that's not on God's calendar. You and I have to be careful that we don't let our personal skepticism of how many times we've heard about the coming of the Lord to get us off of God's schedule, because we think he's missed our appointment. He's not going by your appointment book. Your diary and my diary does not dictate to God when or how he should do what he is doing. So I have to trust him. That's why, of the times and the season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, because we're not just talking about a specific month or moment. He's going to pinpoint a most important event. And between him talking about the rapture and then delineating further about this subject of the coming of the Lord, he just wants to put in there this understanding that don't get so caught up in looking at things around you that when they don't happen according to how you think they ought to happen, or, wow, we must have missed it. This is why I'm very careful even with current events. I'm always examining current events to the backdrop of Bible prophecy, because I feel like that's our responsibility to the Word of God to do that. But I also think that we have to be careful not to over-sensationalize. A couple of years ago, when Russia invaded Ukraine, I spent several weeks here teaching in Bible Hour on Gog and Magog. And it's teaching that I'll go back to and touch on from time to time. But I did an in-depth study because I realized that eventually there's going to be a Russian-Arab alliance that's going to invade Israel. So when we hear talk of Iran possibly about to attack Israel, and everybody's kind of on pins and needles, and they're in, you know, diplomatic emergency, and we've got our ambassadors over there, and they're meeting in Qatar or Qatar, and then Egypt's involved, and then you got Russian foreign ministers involved, and of course Russia and China is going to be backing Iran, and you've got America and the NATO alliance, supposedly, that's supposed to be in alliance with Israel. So you have all of this tension in the Middle East. It's very easy for us to get caught up in the fact that this could be the Ezekiel 38 and 39, Gog and Magog invasion. I happen to personally believe that it is a pre-tribulation event. So there's some people believe Gog and Magog is the Battle of Armageddon. I'm not going to get into the differences there or the distinctions there. But what I'm trying to say is, as we examine what's going on in world events, you know, you have to be careful of two things. Don't over-sensationalize any current event. We watch and pray. We continue to observe. We keep these sayings. And as they unfold, they don't shock the child of God. You're going to see that as we get deeper into chapter 5 here. But they're not supposed to stun the people of God. Oh, that caught us off guard. If you're caught off guard, you're not paying attention. If you're caught off guard, you're not sober-minded. But we're talking about seasons and times and making sure that we don't over-sensationalize any current event. At the same token, to balance this, if you have looked at the last 10 events over the last 30 years, and I've used this before, but say in 1993, how many remember when Yitzhak Rabin and Yasser Arafat met on the White House lawn with, at the time, President Bill Clinton? And there were actually theologians at that particular moment who, you know, they study eschatology every day. They're in Bible prophecy. They got most of the scriptures on Bible prophecy almost memorized, and they just thought this could be the start of the 7 years, because they saw this as a potential covenant of Daniel 9:27. Well, here we are 31 years later. So obviously that was not the particular event, and there were several things around that occurrence that, as you look back on it, would have canceled it or kind of voided it from any plausibility or possibility to be the start of a seven-year tribulation or the covenant with Israel. But at the same time, you can't go, well, you know, 1991 war and 93 this and 2000 Y2K, and every time, you know, 2012, the Mayan calendar said the world was supposed to end. Here we are 12 years later. If you're not careful, you'll get caught up in being desensitized. And anything you must do as a child of God, you must keep your spiritual senses sharpened. You must keep your discernment in place. And, you know, somebody eventually is going to guess it right. I know that some theologian, some prophecy expert, you know, when we get to heaven, they're going to go, I told you, that's what was going to happen. Now, you finally got one out of 10,000 theories right. I've had probably 15 antichrists die on me. You have to be careful that you don't over-sensationalize nor at the same time become skeptical that you get off of God's schedule, because we wait on the Lord. We watch and pray. It didn't tell us to figure it out. It just said as these things unfold, it's not to catch us unaware. Don't be so caught up in worldly things that you're caught unaware. And so Paul goes on to say, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, I want to key in on that word perfectly, because what he's leaving no room for here in this particular matter that he has taught extensively on. And evil one write a second letter that will go deeper into the subject to the church at Thessalonica. He's saying there's no room for doubt. There's no room for ignorance. Once you've been taught this, you don't need to be confused by other material or men's commentary or deceivers. You know yourself perfectly. It's kind of like once you get math, the fundamentals of math down, you know perfectly that 2 + 2 = 4. I know they're trying to come up with different mathematical answers in our generation, but 2 + 2 = 4. And you know perfectly. Don't play dumb with God. You know, when he's taught you well in a particular area, you don't need to come back around later and go, what? I didn't know. You did know. The coming of the Lord is central to the sensitivity of the church. The coming of the Lord is central to what we preach about, what keeps us in a certain sense of fervency about evangelism. Because when you're talking about the coming of the Lord, and especially because we believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, that means it's imminent. It could happen at any moment. The rapture is not bound to signs of the times like the seven-year period of tribulation is. That's why 1 Corinthians 15 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. So because there's a pre-tribulation rapture, we preach an urgency of salvation. I think that's right in alignment with the disciples of the New Testament. If they didn't think there was an urgency of salvation, why would Paul say to the Roman church, now is the time of salvation? Not think about it. Or when Paul is testifying, giving his personal testimony to Festus and King Agrippa in the book of Acts, and they begin to say things like, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul is saying that, you know, in his mind, that's not good enough. He basically says, I wish you wouldn't just almost do it. I wish you would become wholeheartedly a part of this, because you know what has taken place. Paul was bound to an urgency of the gospel. The New Testament church was bound to an urgency of the gospel once they started preaching it, because the coming of the Lord could be at any moment. That's why Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, if you went back, we're not going to go back, but he says, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Paul was putting himself in that number. He didn't see this thing being 2,000 years later. That was not a part of the New Testament mentality, nor should it have been.
You say, well, might that not have been unfair to the New Testament church? No. Every generation has had to live with an expectation that the coming of the Lord could take place at any moment, because it does two things. It creates a fervency in evangelism, and it also is supposed to keep us morally pure. Praise God. Think about it. If you knew for certainty that the Lord was going to come back in the next hour, what would you need to clean up? What would you be praying in the next 5 minutes for the Lord to forgive you about? What would you want to make sure of in your calling and election before God? See, that's the urgency that is supposed to keep us clean and spiritually sensitive. And he says, you know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. What did Jesus say in Matthew 24? He said, watch and pray, for you know not what hour the Son of Man cometh. If the good man of the house had known in what hour the thief would have come, he would have made himself ready. He would not have suffered his house to be broken up. So watch, therefore, and pray, because the coming of the Son of Man is in like manner. He's coming like a thief. So what is our responsibility when you put these in context, when you put these scriptures and verses together? What is our responsibility? Stay ready. Pay attention. That's why you'll hear me say there's pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, and post-tribulation. Those are the three most popular theological terms when you're talking about the rapture of the church. But there are also variations of that. But those are the three main ones. But I say the most important is not pre, mid, or post. The most important word is ready. If I'm ready right now, it doesn't matter if it's pre, mid, or post. I stay ready. If the good man of the house had known, he would have made himself ready. He would have been ready for the thief. He would have been prepared. His security wouldn't have been broken down. He wouldn't have been asleep when it took place. He wouldn't have awakened the next morning and found this big hole in the side of his house broken up, and all of his goods gone. Families wouldn't fall apart. Marriages wouldn't be destroyed as frequently, even within the church, if people stayed prepared like the Word wants us to be prepared. And so he's getting it in Thessalonians' mind. You know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. You're not going to figure out the timing of it. You just stay awake and you stay ready. You stay awake and you stay ready. Verse 3 said, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. He will begin a contrast here in the next few verses between sinner and saint, between the faithful and the unfaithful, between the believer and the unbeliever, between those that are rapture ready and those that are not. There's no neutral ground. There's no in between. There's no purgatory. And he's saying there's a consistency even in human and Gentile empires of setting up peace talks. That's what they're trying to do right now. But how many times over the years have they signed peace covenants only to break them 30, 60, 90 days later, or within just a few short years? You go back and do research on funding in the billions of dollars that was actually given to the Gazans, the Palestinians that lived in that area, but Hamas usurped those funds and used it to build tunnels and collect weapons. And then all of a sudden, you know, these doctrines of devils and those that are kind of in alignment with seducing spirits that want to get on our American soil and start saying from the river to the sea and talk about a genocide of Israel and have no clue historically what they're talking about. The absolute idiocy of them is just beyond the pale. And I'd say that boldly, because I would certainly hope nobody under the sound of my voice here sitting today would have any kind of sentiment in that direction to want to have some kind of Hitlerian philosophy of destruction and extermination of the Jews. Do you know that your Old Testament says in the book of Zephaniah and also in the book of Amos, he says that when I bring Israel back to its land, which happened from the late 1800s to 1948 when they became a nation again, it was a fulfillment of a 2,500-year-old prophecy, prophecies that were given by Ezekiel, prophecies that were given by Zephaniah and Amos and other prophets. This happened. The Lord said they will never be removed from their land again. That's what the Bible says. Amen. That's why even under the Antichrist, if you go to Zechariah 14, just stay here, I'll just quote it to him. But you go to Zechariah 14, the Bible said, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee." And he said, "I will gather all nations to Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken. The house is rifled, the women ravished, half of the city shall go forth in the captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city." Did you know that at some point before the coming, the second coming of the Lord, Jerusalem is going to be defeated? Jerusalem is going to be under Gentile rule. And it's going to be under Antichrist rule. But it doesn't mean that the Jews will be exterminated, because in agreement with prophecies in other places of the Bible, it says there's a residue or a remnant of the people that will not be cut off from the city. Even though they're going to be under persecution, they will still be there in the city and in the land. And you know what verse 3 says? "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle." Zechariah 14 and 3. So this pro-Palestinian sentiment that wants a destruction of Israel, and then they want to cry out about humanitarian offenses, which most of the numbers coming in from Gaza are absolute, it's propaganda and it's lies, but they want to act like there's no humanitarian aid. Billions of dollars have been sent for humanitarian aid, and it was coerced and taken away from them by Hamas to build a terrorist network. That's why there's a determination to defeat and destroy any ability of Hamas in Gaza to do anything like that in the future. But see, people aren't going to their Bible to figure out what ought to be done there. They're trying to get political heads to figure this out. And then you got political heads that are talking to devils. They're not talking to God. They're not praying in the Spirit. They're not full of the Holy Ghost. They have no Christian connection. And people don't understand how dark Islam is. They think because there is a more quiet, passive form of it here in America, which is really a mask and it's a deceiver's ploy, and they're actually given permission by the Quran and by a lot of their hadiths, which is their teachings, to do that in order to get into our governments and our school systems. But if you've ever just read about what some of these people have to go through who live in Iraq and Iran and Gaza, it's absolutely dark and demonic. And all of these freedoms that people have to actually tear down the very freedom that they have, it's like cutting off your nose to spite your own face. That's what these people are doing. They want to burn the American flag, and yet it's the American flag that gives them the very freedom to say what they say. If they said that over in the streets of Gaza, they'd have their tongues cut out, their heads cut off, and their bodies hung up in the streets. Because Islam is a dark, demonic religion. But God's got his hand on Israel. And God uses Israel as a timepiece. It's part of the prophetic clock. It ain't as much about what's going on in D.C. or Moscow or Tehran. It's more importantly what's going on in the land of Israel and what is God doing in the pulsating of his own will for his people in the Abrahamic covenant yet to be completely fulfilled. Because when God says, "Okay, I'm ready for the 70th week of Daniel," then the church is gone. The church is taken out in the rapture. That's what I believe. I've said often, well, even if it doesn't happen then, I'm not jumping straight to the post-trib. We're going to start looking for the next leaving point. But that's because the spirit of the child of God, according to Revelation 22, is supposed to be, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus."
No. Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.